Tanya for Chaf Vav Tishrei, the 26th day of Tishrei, is in Igeres HaKedesh Simon Chaf Hei, Igeres HaKedesh 25. The Alter Rebbe is explaining what it says in Tzavos HaRivosh, a statement attributed, a quote attributed to the Baal Shem Tov, where the Baal Shem Tov says that if a person is davening, and somebody comes and tries to distract him from the davening, people are talking, he should take it as a challenge, presented to him from above, from the Shekhinah, where the Shekhinah arranged that that this person should be there and should talk to him during the davening. As, for example, a non-Jew trying to distract the Jew from his davening. So he should realize that the Shekhinah is clothed in this non-Jew, motivating him, bringing him to make the conversation that will distract the Jew from the davening, and so the Jew should daven with greater intention, with greater kavana, and pass the test or respond properly to this challenge that is coming from above, from the Shekhinah. So Misnagdim didn't understand how it could be that the Shekhinah should be clothed in a goy. So the Alter Rebbe explains in Siman Chav Hei, in Geres HaKedesh, what it means that the Shekhinah is clothed in places and in things that are not holy. So the first thing the Alter Rebbe says is that nothing can exist without the presence of the Shekhinah. Nothing can exist without God being involved with that existence and giving it existence all the time. And he gives the mashal that the story in the Tanakh, where Shimi ben Neza cursed David HaMelech, and David HaMelech's response was that God told him to curse. Although we don't find anywhere that God told him explicitly to curse, the idea is that David saw in Shimi's curse the Hashgacha Pratis, the divine providence that motivated Shimi to do it. Not that Shimi didn't have the freedom of choice, but the thought and the words and the energy that went into cursing David came from the Shekhinah, because without the Shekhinah, Shimi wouldn't be able to speak at all, wouldn't exist at all. Zehu ki Hashem omar lei be'esahi mamish kalel es David mi yemar lei, etc. Shimi, even at the time that he was cursing David, not just that he was given the potential, but even while he was doing it, in the very time, in the very act of cursing David, he was being animated and given life from God. And who can, and why would God do such a thing? We don't know. Because who can tell God what he should do? Also, as is known from what the Baal Shem Tov writes, Al-Posuk le'olam Hashem dvor hanita b'shamayim, on the verse, le'olam Hashem, forever, God, your word stands in the heavens. So the Baal Shem Tov explains, tziru feisi shenivru b'hem hashamayim, the combination of letters with which God created the world, shehumai merihi rakia, which was the utterance of the 10 utterances. It was what created the heavens, was the utterance Yihi Rakia. So these letters that make up the words, let there be a heaven, a firmament, Hein Nitzoveis Ve'emdeis Meluboshes Bashamayim La'olam, they stand and remain clothed forever in the heavens, La'achayesam Lulakaimam, to give them life and to give them existence. So the letters with which God created the world, in other words, the creative power that God invested or spoke into the world, remain constantly active in creating the world and giving it life. The leike hafilosofim shekeifim b'hashgacha pratis, and not like the philosophers who deny the divine providence. Divine providence and constant creation are very closely related. This constant involvement in creation, where God has to be involved, in the creation and the continued existence of every detail, of every creature, of every part of creation, that itself is the divine providence. Since God's attention and God's interest has to be on every detail in order to make it exist. So there are those who deny the Hashgacha Pratis, the divine providence. Umedamin bedimyeinam akezev esmaase Hashem eise shamayim v'oretz. And they compare, mistakenly, the creation of God, heaven and earth, l'maise enesh v'tachbuleisav. They compare it to the workings, to the doings of man and his schemes. We see that when a man, a potter, makes a pot, once he's finished, the pot no longer needs him. He can remove his hands from the pot, and the pot will continue to exist. So they compare the creation of heaven and earth, where they recognize that God created heaven and earth, and without a creator, they could never exist. But once created, they no longer are connected to the creator. And so the creator now leaves, abandons the creation, and the creation exists on its own. But their eyes are closed and unseeing. The great difference between that which man does, shehu yesh miyesh, when we call a human being a creator, we say he created the pot, what he didn't really create in the literal sense of bringing something into existence. He was working with an already existing substance. Zakshe mishana hatzuzah v'hatmuna. He changed only the form and the shape. And even the form and the shape that he brought out, that he revealed in the substance, was already a potential in the substance. It contained that form or that shape in potential. And the form or shape that it does not include, that it does not hold in potential, the human being cannot give that shape to the substance. So there are certain shapes and forms you can make out of water, out of ice. There are certain shapes and forms you can make out of marble, and certain shapes and forms you can make out of metals. But the form has to exist in potential within the substance, and then the artist or the potter can bring out that potential. So even the form and the shape is not a creation in the true sense of the word. And yet, they don't see the difference between that and l'maise shamayim v'oretz shehu yesh mayim, the creation of heaven and earth, which is out of nothing, bringing into existence that which doesn't exist. V'hu pele gadol yaseh mikriyas yamsuf al derech moshel. And this coming into existence, creation of something out of nothing, is a greater miracle than the splitting of the sea, for example. What was the case with the splitting of the sea? It says that God caused a strong wind to blow all night, and the waters split, and the wind contained the water and kept it from flowing, so that the water stood like a wall because the wind held it in place. The ilu posak haruach kazega, and if for a moment the wind had let up, hoyu hamayim chazin v'nigorim b'meidat kedarkam v'tivam, then the water would immediately once again flow downward as is their nature, v'loy kamu kachema, and they would not remain standing like a wall. Now, although God could have created a miracle in which the water stood without a wind, he could have, but it's obvious from the description of the splitting of the sea that that's not what happened. God didn't change the water from a fluid, from a liquid, to something else. He merely contained the water and had the water behave like a wall against its nature by the force of the wind. Av sh'teva ze b'mayim hu gam kein nivra'u m'chudesh yesh ma'ayin. And although this nature in the water, the fluid nature, the fact that it flows downwards, this is not essential to the water itself. In other words, there's water, and which has to be created out of nothing, out of non-existence. And then God has to create a nature or a property within the water that makes it flow downhill. Because we see that a wall of stones stands by itself without a wind. So what we see from this is that a physical substance doesn't necessarily have to have the properties of fluidity. So the water can exist and be a physical substance and not have the nature of flowing downhill. So when God created water and the nature to flow downhill, the nature to flow down, to flow, was added to the existence of the water. So if you take away the fluidity of the water, you still have a substance. You still have an existent being. So in the stones, there is no fluidity. But in the water, there is, which is an additional creation, a nature or a property that is added on to the water, and yet, if the wind were not holding the water and containing it from flowing, then the nature to flow would reassert itself, and it would immediately, once again, flow downwards, behave like water. So even though the wind had caused the water to behave like a wall, we don't expect that the water will now continue to behave like a wall even after the wind is gone. We expect that as soon as the wind stops forcing the water to stand still, that the nature of the water will immediately reassert itself, and it will once again flow downwards. And this is true even though the nature of flowing downward is not essential to the existence of water. So the kol shekein v'kal v'chein b'briyas yesh ma'ayin shehila ma'ila min hateva. So how much more so is this the case when you create something out of nothing completely above nature? In other words, it's not a property within an existent being, but the being itself coming out of total non-existence. So in that case, the miracle is all the greater. It's a much greater miracle than Kriyas Yamsuf. Then Allah has kamo v'kamo shebehistalkus chas v'sholom keyachabei v'yesh ma'ayin min hanivro. So it's certain, and it's even more necessary to assume that when the creative power that forces this non-existent being to come into existence, the creation of heaven and earth, that if you were to take away that force, that creative power, that Yoshuv Hanivro La'ayin Ve'efes Mamish, that the created being would immediately return to its original nature. Its original nature, so to speak, would reassert itself, and that is that it would stop existing. Elo tzorech li'eskeyach ha'peil benifal tamit. But rather, you have to have the power of the cause within the effect. L'hachayeseyu l'kayme, to give it life and to give it existence. U'b'china zu, and this condition, this fact, that God has to be constantly creating the creation, hu dvar Hashem v'ruach piv sheba'asora maimori, shebehem nivra ha'ilam. What part of God is involved in this creation? It is the Word of God, the breath of His mouth, that was expressed in the 10 utterances of creation. And even this physical world, and in the physical world, the lowest part, the inorganic, their life and their existence also comes from the 10 utterances that whose energy is clothed within the inorganic substance to give it life and existence. And it gives the inorganic substance continued existence, that it should stay in existence and not become what it once was. So that they don't return to being absolute non-existent as they were before. This is what the Arizal meant when he said that even in the inorganic stones, dirt, water, yesh bahem bechinas nefesh v'chayis ruchnis, that even they contain a spark, a divine, a spiritual spark, a spark of life, that is the Shechina that is clothed in them, that gives them their existence. In the Hayyim Yayim for the 26th of Tishrei, the Rebbe writes, Ha'inyan al posuk le'ilam Hashem dvarcha nitzav b'shamayim, the explanation of the verse that God's word stands forever in the heavens, Mevi Rabbeinu Hazokin, the Alter Rebbe brings in Shara Yichud Ve'emuna Perek Aleph, and then again in Geret HaKedesh Chof Hei, which we're learning today, he brings it in the name of the Baal Shem Tov. The explanation of the verse, the Alter Rebbe quotes in the name of the Baal Shem Tov. Hagam sheyesh inyan zeh b'medrash Tehillim, although we find the same explanation also in Medrash Tehillim, v'kamei she'nemar gam b'lukutei teira b'divrei ha'maschil ki b'yem hazeh yechaper. In fact, it is quoted from the Medrash Tehillim in Lukutei Teira. So why does the Alter Rebbe quote it in the name of the Alter Rebbe? The kavana miyuchedes b'zeh. So the special intention that the Alter Rebbe had is ki b'yem sheni hoya ha'mayim yehirakia. Because this statement, Yehirakia, came on the second day of creation, on Monday. Shehu hanitzav b'shamayim. And it is this utterance, Yehirakia, that remains forever in the heavens. V'zeh yihye l'zichrei ne'olam. So this becomes a permanent testimony, a reminder, ki b'yem sheni chai elul ne'olad ha'Baal Shem Tov. That the Baal Shem Tov was born on chai elul, on Monday, on the second day of the week.